Grace to you and peace from the one who calls us to new creation, from the one who is new creation. So this morning we hear two gospel lessons, the one from last week and from this week. And as you know, the last few months we have been working through Luke, through a series of parables, and now we're into some of Jesus' sayings in Luke. But a series of parables that have not always been fun to hear. They've been challenging, confusing, and sometimes just downright difficult. We've had a lot of sheep and lost coins and lost children who were found. We had a dishonest manager who was apparently praised for his dishonesty. Today we have another lost thing, the lost rich man, lost in Hades, but he was not found. And then we have the apostles who worry that they do not have enough faith to do what Jesus has asked them to do. Now, in Lutheran tradition, we often say, "Praise be to Christ," after the reading of the gospel. In the United Church, we say, "Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." Either way, it's pretty hard to go, "Praise be," or to hear good news and what's being said to us in a lot of these parables. Like today. I mean, if the disciples who were there at ground zero with Jesus, at Jesus' side all the time, if they feel that they don't have enough faith, what hope is there for me? Or the rich man. Well, because regardless of how we regard our personal finances, compared to most of the world's population, most of us here today are rich. And we don't do that good a job of caring for those who we call the less fortunate. I was in Vancouver a few weeks ago, and yes, I gave some toonies and loonies to a few panhandlers, but I probably walked by another 25 or 30 in my few hours in the downtown core that day. Am I, like the rich man, going to Hades? Well, there's three things about this. First, parables. Parables are not predictions. They are meant to be teachings for us, but it's sometimes hard to kind of glean the learnings because, for starters, we're 2,000 years away from the context of those parables. But they're not predictions. They are not do this or else kind of commandments. Second, Hades. The concept of being punished by the gods, or by God, has been around for thousands of years and has crossed religions and cultures. In fact, the ancient Greeks and the ancient Egyptians, they had a story almost identical to the one that is in Luke today. So our conceptions and misconceptions about punishment, well, we could talk about that for a long time. Several sermons, but that's not today's topic. Third, related to the first two, when we hear the parable of the rich man, where do we go? We go to the Hades part. And I wonder what we are missing, what we are stepping over or ignoring, like the rich man, when we don't look at the rest of the parable. What might we see if we have a look at that? Now, I mentioned I was in Vancouver a few weeks ago. I was en route to visit some very dear friends of mine. He is my retired pastor, Lutheran. I sort of hang out here and at the Lutheran Church. He's still my mentor, and both of them are very dear friends. And while I say he's retired, he actually spends a lot of time working on an interim basis with the number of congregations from several denominations who can't find pastors to fill the vacancies that they have. We always have tons to talk about. Our families, of course, mutual friends and what they're doing, who's died, and our favorite topic, the church. How it has changed, how it needs to change, and where it might be going in the future. And he told me about this new position that the BC region of the Lutheran Church has hired. It's called Missional Renewal. And I heard this, and I thought to myself, really? Why are we doing same old, when we know, because it has been studied and researched and analyzed and documented to death, that the church has changed? Things are not the way they were. Things are not going back to that little growth blip we had in the middle of the 20th century. The church is changing, and the things we did before are not going to work anymore. As the saying goes, we're not in Kansas anymore, brother. Some call it a time of crisis for the church. And at this point, you might be thinking, between all this good news and the snow, don't you wish you'd stay home with Sarah in that second cup of coffee this morning? But then my friend told me a little more about this missional renewal position, because it's not about same old at all. Her role is not to go build congregations back up to their former numbers or members or budget, or to go places and build new buildings. No, what she does is she goes out there, into the community, outside the doors of the church, and she looks for programs and places that are doing things that help the community, and especially help marginalized people in the community. Now, typically, those things are not connected with the church, because most congregations don't have the time, the energy, the people, or financial resources to look at much outside of their own buildings and what's going on in those buildings. And when she finds those things, she looks for ways that the church, through individual congregations, might connect with those programs and projects, support them in some way, complement what they're doing. At the center of this work are two questions. Where is God, and what is God doing? Because that is where the church needs to be. And that is where the church needs to be putting what resources that they do have. Now, this kind of thinking, it calls on us to look at the gospel and all of Scripture with fresh eyes, say the theologians who study this sort of thing. Because as they point out, God has been disrupting us since the beginning of time, throughout history and throughout the Bible. For example, the wandering in the desert, the Babylonian captivity, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the first time and for the last time, by the Romans. These were all big disruptions that forced the people of Israel to find new ways of being the faithful people of God. They had to, because the old ways, they didn't exist anymore. Then there's the resurrection, and the spread of the early church, and the Reformation. Again, disruptions that caused the church to find very different ways of being the church. Things were very different from what had been done before. Is God disrupting us again? Pushing us to imagine new ways of being? New ways of being the church? And if that is the case, are these small local actions enough? If we are indeed in crisis, what are these little local projects? What are they going to do? And perhaps this is where the mustard seeds come in. Because mustard seeds are very, very tiny, but they grow into robust plants. Now, I'm originally from the prairies, and I know some of you here today also are originally from the prairies. And we can tell you about fields of bright yellow flowers, acres and acres of them that go as far as the eye can see when the mustard is in bloom. And all of those come from tiny, tiny seeds. Might missional renewal be about planting little mustard seeds that can grow up and go as far as the eye can see? Or taking our mulberry bushes and planting them in a new place? If we look at the parable of the rich man with fresh eyes today, what might we see? What is laying outside our gates that we step over, that we don't see when we walk into this house? What are we not hearing from Moses, from the prophets, from the one who has risen from the dead? If we read and believe what the scholars are saying about the church in the 21st century, when we know what we ourselves have experienced and are experiencing, it can feel like yet another good news story. Where are you, God? Where are you? We are in crisis. Are you across the chasm, unreachable? Do I have enough faith to get through this? It's a lament that has been expressed before in the desert, in the Babylonian captivity, from the cross. From the early church when Jesus did not return, from the rich man in Hades. Where are you, God? Where is the good news? Well, it's here. It is, I promise. I think, though, we have to look for it with fresh eyes. Because God is here in our midst, disrupting us, pushing us into new ways of being, pushing us to imagine different ways of being the faithful people of God, pushing us to bridge that chasm, because remember, parables are not predictions, pushing us to plant things in new and different places. And we don't need a giant, unwavering faith to do that, even though sometimes it might feel like we do. Because faith is simply putting one foot in front of the other and taking small steps on a journey to a future that we do not know, but that we trust God is shaping. Faith is going out of our door every morning looking for opportunities to be partners and co-workers with God in shaping the world. Faith is seeing the challenges that are put before us as invitations to grow. Grow like mustard seeds or mulberry bushes in new places. To grow in our discipleship and our acknowledgement of God's goodness and presence in the world. The challenge of being the church in the Western world today, the challenge of being at congregations in our individual communities, these are definitely before us. I think God is pushing us to see what's outside our gates, to see God at work outside our buildings, and then to go there where God is calling us to do what we know we're supposed to do as Christians and as the church. May the God of creation and new life, the God of love and justice, the God who never, ever abandons us, help us to see what is outside our gates. Help us to plant new things in new places. And help us to take small steps on an unknown journey. Amen.